Welcome to the Fearless Warrior Podcast, a place for athletes, coaches, and parents who know the value of a strong mindset. I'm your host, Coach AB, a mental performance coach on a mission, former softball coach, wife, and mom of three. Each episode, we will dive deep into all things mental performance, mindset tools, and how to rewire the brain for success. So if your goal is to gain the mental edge and learn the secrets of mental performance, you're in the right place. Let's tune in to today's episode. Hello, Warriors. We have Lindsay Tucker, who is a former athlete that I got to coach at Pius and got to see her career evolve. And now she's playing in college. And her teammate, Cam, is a pitcher. She decided to join us tonight as well. They are both at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and it is a Division I program. They have started their season with a new coaching staff. They've had to overcome different hurdles. They're going to share with you guys the behind the scenes of, you know, what's it like in the day of a college athlete. They'll talk to you about what they're studying. They can talk to you about, you know, what their successes have been, their struggles, all of that in between. They are willing to be vulnerable and share with you guys. So there is literally no question off limits. So whatever you guys want to know, we will open it up to questions and we'll go from there. So really quickly, I will pass it off to Lindsay and Cameron. Do you guys want to give us a 1-2 punch of who you are, what position you play, where you're originally from, you know, what you're studying, and maybe like a fun fact?
Man, the fun fact is the worst part. Okay, I'm Lindsay. I'm a junior here at UNO, and I play second base. I've been playing second base since last year. I'm studying kinesiology, which is like exercise science, and I want to go to PA school, fingers crossed, for UNMC here in Omaha. I'm originally from Lincoln, and like Amanda said, I am a graduate from Pius, if any of you guys are familiar with that.
I'm Cameron. I am also a junior here at UNO, and I'm a pitcher. I'm originally from Durant, Iowa, which is on the far east side, so about 4 hours away. I'm majoring in early childhood inclusive with a concentration on age 3 to grade 3. And a fun fact about me, you probably already know.
Yeah, I could say it for you.
Is that my family raises and shows goats.
Big goat people. I have 4 sisters and no brothers, so but I guess that's a fun fact about me.
And a niece.
And a niece and another niece on the way in a couple months. So a big girl family.
Big girl family.
Yes.
Okay. So we are literally just going to get right to it. If you guys have a question, you're like, ooh, me, I want to ask the next question, raise your hand. But my first one that I'm going to start with is we're going to go right to the nitty gritty. And I want you guys to name either last year or this year, right now, what is something that you're absolutely crushing? You're like, you know what? This is going really, really good. And I want to brag. We call those wins. And you guys remember your whoop whoops. And then maybe on the opposite side, what's something that you've struggled with in the past that in this season of life, it's always 50-50. So what's something that's really good and what's something that you're working on physically or mentally?
Is this up for everyone or is this for us?
This is for you guys. I know. I threw a ringer at you.
Okay. I would say a win is just I'm finally feeling, I don't know if it's the new coaching staff or me being an upperclassman this year, but being like fully comfortable in my position on the field and like my place on the team has been something that I haven't felt since like summer ball, honestly. So that is like a huge win in my opinion. I think a lot of my teammates have recognized that this year.
Something that like, you know, we talk about all the time, like a hurdle that you've worked really hard to overcome. If it was like a hitting mechanic or a fielding mechanic, where you're like, man, I've never thought that I would get through. And now I'm on the other side of this. What's like a struggle that you could share with us?
So the last 2 years, you probably know before that I was a big power slapper. Then I went into college and my coaches wanted me to start placement slapping, utilizing the ground and stuff. And that was really difficult for me because I kind of felt myself slowing down a little bit. So I was leaning more towards power slapping. But now, I just struggled with placement slapping. It was actually a huge mental battle. Just trying to figure out, like, stay true to who I am, but also like being really coachable and respectful and like understanding, trying to like trust the process. So that was something that was, I guess, like a struggle for me in the past.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, because that takes some vulnerability. I think you guys can honor that and recognize, raise your hand. How many of you guys have struggled with something that you never thought you would be able to break through, and now you're starting to see that light at the end of the tunnel? Taryn's like, yep. Yep. There you go. See, you're not alone. You're not alone, Lindsay. Thanks for sharing that with us. All right. Cam's chomping at the bit. What you got for us, Cam?
I'm still thinking about it, but I would say something for me is similar to Lindsay. I've just found myself, especially after my freshman year, I had a really rough freshman year. And obviously with COVID, our season got cut off short. But that year was really tough for me, just coming from high school and like being the ace per se, and that like one person that they always went to. And when I came to high school, or when I came to college, I kind of had to like take a step back because I wasn't like the only one. So I guess that would be the good thing for me. And then
that was what you struggled with the best. You got a lot of things good going for you now, but.
Like just anything.
Yeah. What do you want to brag about? Your teammate already bragged you up. Did was that before we started this call? Lindsay, come on, brag her up again.
All right.
See, I get to talk to the guest speakers before they hop on because I'm prepping them about how awesome our Warriors are.
Yeah. Well, Cam just got pitcher of the week for our Summit League conference. She had two shutouts in the two games she pitched, and then she had a no-hitter, her second career no-hitter, and she was Boise State's first loss of the season this weekend. So it was a really big, she had 26 strikeouts in two games. So it was a huge weekend for her.
Thanks. Warriors, wear your, yeah, whoop, whoop. We do whoop whoops around here. I know Lindsay knows what that is, but since we're on Zoom, we can't really acknowledge each other when we're on mute. So that's like our hand signal. Love so that. Cam, would you agree with that?
I would have to agree.
She's forcing your hand. Okay. What do you guys want to know? What do you want to know? Mentally, physically, college life. What questions do you guys want to fire at Cam and Lindsay? I don't know. Taylor.
Lindsay, what is your favorite slapping drill?
Ooh, my favorite slapping drill. I like to just break it down. Are you a slapper?
I'm a power slapper.
Cool. I like to just break it down to the very basics and just do crossover drills. In college, pitchers really like to nail the outside pitch on you. I'm sure you're even experiencing that, but kind of just slowing your feet down and working at a crossover and always hitting 5-6 hole left side with the outside pitch just like becomes muscle memory, because that's 90% of the pitches you'll be thrown. I guess another one, I have like a, it's hard to explain on Zoom, but there's two tees set up kind of like diagonal to you. And making sure you're like, since you're a power slapper, you want to elevate the ball a little bit, hit line drives. So there's one ball on one tee, and then diagonally towards the 5-6 hole, there's another tee, and just kind of like swinging through and extending through both balls. Is a great drill. Just make sure you're not dipping under, your barrel path isn't losing, top hand isn't getting weak.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So Dylan's Lee, your Zoom name, I'm going to have you ask a question in 1 second, but I want Lindsay to expand on that. How do you mentally prepare when you know that that frustration is going to bubble up? You know that those pitchers are going to throw outside. Now, when you guys are hearing this, you're like, I don't need to listen to this question because I'm not a slapper. I want you guys to hear this question and apply it to anything. If you know that there's a frustrating situation that's going to agitate you, pitchers, if the umpire is not calling spots, if it's hot, whatever, it's just one example. How do you prepare for that? Because you just said it. I already know that they're going to throw me outside. So how do you mentally prepare for that?
I deal with that a lot with her when she throws to me, because
that's my favorite pitch.
Her favorite pitch to throw to me is this like low rise out, and it's insane, but I know it's coming every time and I can't get myself to swing at it. But just like our new coach this year is just like really big on just like resilience, and like you have to bounce back, like not only like at bat from at bat, but like pitch to pitch, just like being gritty and like getting after it. And like, you really have nothing to lose. Like you step in a batter's box and like you have a 0-0 count, you're beating the pitcher at that moment. Like, I think just being like having that self-confidence and knowing like you really have nothing to lose in this moment, really just helps me, stay aggressive, be resilient, like get after it, like pitch after pitch.
That was awesome. Okay, so we're going to go Dylan, and then we're going to go Taryn.
What is like your mindset when you go up to the plate?
Ooh, my mindset. I had a few notes on like mental strategies, but this has to do like person to person. What helps me when I go up to bat is having like a very clear head, clear mind. Some people think differently. Some people are like, oh, I'm expecting this pitch. I want to see this pitch, but like just visualizing and like minimizing what I want into like as like small as I can, like, oh, I want this pitch. Like, just like, that's the only thing I'm thinking about, that pitch right there. Just like really helps me. And then also when I step in the box between every at bat, I have a routine. So, every time I step out of the box, I like look at the coach for the signs. And then look at the ground, make like a little design cross thing on the ground, then step in with my right foot or whatever. And then just kind of like just do the same thing. Just keep me a routine, muscle memory, being aggressive early in the count too.
And Lindsay, immediately I'm drawn back to coaching you. That hasn't changed in how many years? That routine. You've been doing that routine for how many years?
I have been doing that routine for a long time. Yeah. I first at bat, I wipe off the ground, clear off the ground, make a little X in the ground, step in the box, maybe swing my bat a couple times, but it stayed pretty consistent for the past few years.
That is something for you guys to pay attention to, because I think sometimes we kind of gloss over the routine module in the program because we think, oh yeah, I got routines. And even if you're changing, you know, sometimes, you know, I'd tie my shoelaces tight and other times I'd tie them loose, or, you know, sometimes I would look to center field or sometimes I would look here. When Lindsay says that she has a routine, she literally has not changed. And I used to coach you back
Locos young
since, yeah, summer team. And so when you guys think about this, as you get to this next level, there are games where Lindsay and Cam are, you're playing against some of the best teams in the country. You're playing in college. You're playing for your dream school. You're fighting for that starting spot. The pressure is immense. And she has that routine that she's built in her mind for quite literally 10 plus years. That's going to give her that sense of comfort. So what a beautiful gift that you guys can build now. Do not discount the comfort and the how would you describe it? What does that give you?
I think just gives me confidence, makes me feel loose. Just yeah, like you said, a comfort. It's something I'm familiar with
every single time. Cam, do you have a routine?
Yeah, I do. And for me, I take my time when I get on the mound. So I like walk back to the back of the circle. I take my deep breath and then I throw the ball as I'm walking up to the mound 3 times and then spin the ball in my hand as I'm like getting set and then I'm ready to go. And I think for me, that just helps me flush the pitch before that, if it was a good pitch, if it was a bad pitch, moving on to the next pitch is something that's really important, not only for hitters, but for pitchers too, because maybe the ump might not be giving you that pitch, so we're going to move it in this much. And just like, I don't know, using that as like a second to essentially get over yourself and like letting that go.
That was an awesome question. Okay, Taryn, you have been waiting so patiently. Hit him with your question.
What self-talk do you tell yourself when you're really struggling?
That's a good question, because that was one of my mental strategies, is positive self-talk. When I am struggling, it's very easy, and I'm sure it is for you guys too, to like get in your head, tell you all these negative things about yourself. But I think just knowing, like staying true to yourself and believing in yourself, even when you think maybe other people don't believe in you, and just know, remembering the good things. I also use visualization a lot. So just, even if I'm like, oh man, that wasn't too good of a play, I just got to think about like, okay, this next play, like I'm going to envision myself like fielding a nice ground, an easy ground ball, making a nice throw to first, or hitting an outside pitch instead of not swinging, you know? But just staying true to yourself and remembering the good things about you, and just having confidence in what you have done and what you will do.
So to clarify, did I hear you say that you're using visualization out to out, pitch to pitch, game to game? You're using visualization as an in-game tool.
Oh yeah. I'm like always, like every pitch, I'm like always expecting a ground ball. And I'm like, I mean, sometimes I'm like, okay, this pitch is going inside, I'm gonna shift this way, or I'm gonna expect a backhand, or I'm gonna expect diving for a forehand. But usually it's just like, I'm gonna do the routine plays great, and then I'm gonna get after like the tough ones. And just like visualizing like the routine plays helps me like pitch to pitch, game to game, just being confident.
That's awesome. That is so cool. I didn't even know that about you. And I love that that's specific to you. And some of you guys, raise your hand if you're one of the people like Coach AB, where you thought visualization was really hard. It's hard to focus. I don't know. It just feels hard sometimes to get quiet and visualize. And Lindsay's saying, okay, that's my skill. My skills are self-talk and visualization. When I say my, I'm speaking as if I'm Lindsay. What she's saying is, these are the ones that work for me. So now I'm curious, Cam, Taryn's question was, what does your self-talk sound like when you're struggling? Tell us about that, but then also tell us, you know, what are your go-to mental skills?
You know, sometimes it's not always going to be good. Like, you're not always going to be able to pull yourself up. So for me, I tend to rely on my teammates to help me. So like, as I'm walking to the back of the circle, I'm looking at Lindsay for like that, like head nod or something like that, to be like, okay, I got this. Like, move on to the next pitch. Did that answer the question?
What, anything else mentally that you do to prepare before pitching?
I think as a pitcher, you are thinking about what pitch you want to throw. And even if the catcher doesn't call the pitch you want to throw, you still have a visualization of where you want that pitch to go. So I think just like visualizing the spot on your catcher or on the batter of where you want that ball to go, 9 times out of 10, that's where the ball go.
Super powerful. More questions. I'm going to wait for you guys to ask more questions, but let's fire up the chat. I want Cameron and Lindsay to see, what is our position? What's everyone's positions on this call? I know we always have a lot of pitchers, which is kind of cool, because I think pitchers especially need mental skills training, because you guys are in the ringer. Cam, have you played other positions, or have you always been a primary pitcher?
So when I was really young, I was a pitcher and a catcher. I know. I'm like 5'11", so it's hard to picture me as a catcher, right? But so I got out of catching, stayed with pitching. Once I got to, say, middle school, I started playing first base. And then all through high school, I played first base. But once I got to college, I stopped hitting, stopped playing first. Now I'm just a pitcher only.
So tell us about that transition while we're, and you guys can look at the chat too and see, you know, we really do have all sorts of positions. Does that mentality change? And maybe you speak for when you did play first base. And Lindsay, I know you really can play anywhere. How do you change your mentality when coach bumps you up and down in the batting order? How do you change your mentality when you're playing a position that you weren't planning on playing? And Lindsay, were you shortstop in high school? And yes. What were you in summer?
I was shortstop there. I played third base in high school a little bit too.
Yep. So how do you deal with that mentally when your team needs you at a different position, or as a pitcher, when you want to be a pitcher, but you know your team needs you at first base? How does that mentality change depending on, you know, what your coach is saying, what you're like, where is your identity in that? There's so many different things that we can talk about, but what comes to mind when I kind of throw that at you guys?
I think for me, it just comes down to like, you are not your softball team. Like, you need to kind of embrace your role. And like, if that's where you're supposed to be put, or your coach thinks you're supposed to be put, like, you'll succeed there if you embrace it and really learn. Because I had never played second base until college, like never played second base, which is interesting because I played middle infield, like I played shortstop my whole life, but second base is like a whole new world. Just so much more covering bases, communication than like making the all-star plays at shortstop, you know? So I think I last year and this year especially, I've really embraced my role and learned so much about the position that like you learn to love it because you know you're helping your teammates out, and it's just about being like selfless.
Yeah, for me, so in high school, when I did play first, hit, pitch, there was kind of like that balance. So maybe I'm not pitching that well this game, but I have my hitting to make up for it. So once I got to college, if I was having a bad game, I didn't really have that release for me to be able to say, okay, I'm doing this for my team. I may not be doing it in this aspect, but I'm doing it in my hitting. So now it's kind of, it's gotten a lot more mental. We'll just say that once I got to college. So just balancing that, you know, staying in my routine, knowing my releases, trusting my defense, trusting myself, just trusting the process.
That is awesome. So this has come up. I know I keep asking all the questions. So if you guys want to get your question in, I'll be quiet for a couple of seconds. Does anyone have a question? Yes. Okay. Paige.
When someone's like messing with your routine, what would you block them out, or like what would you do?
Do you mean this as in like hitting standpoint or fielding, or like what specific situation? Hitting. I would say just don't let the outside distractions like kind of sway the way you play from your routine. I've had these past couple years, I've had like scenarios in which there were those outside factors where, you know, it would be tricky to not overthink your routine or try to switch something up as soon as something's not working. But I think it goes back to just like what Cam said, trusting the process. And I've had that, my same routine for however many years, and stuck to it. That doesn't mean to not adjust as a player, to not like grow as a player. Cause I think the routine's mostly like mental. It's just like Coach AB said, like your comfort, but then you have to like also remember to grow and adjust at bat to at bat as a ball player too. So there's kind of that like fine line between like remembering your comfort zone and then also like growing as a player. I don't know if that answered your question, but
it did. Thank you.
Yeah.
So awesome. Okay. So we're going to go Mallory, and then Taryn, if we have time, we'll let you pop in a second one. Mallory, what you got?
Did you guys expect to, or like, was your goal to be D1, or did like, it just happen?
Yeah, this is a good one for me. I played for the Locos, which was like kind of a small organization at that time. And I wasn't familiar with the recruiting process, so it was very difficult for me. Originally, I had only been noticed by a JUCO in Kansas. And I went to a visit down there and I committed. And I got a call a few weeks later from the UNO softball coach at the time. And she pretty much just offered me a walk-on spot. She was like, I think you have potential. You'd be a pretty good fit to our program. Like, you have a spot on my team if you want it. So immediately, I think that same night, I called my JUCO coach. And there's nothing wrong with taking the JUCO route. There's nothing wrong with going D2, D3. But like at that moment, that's what I wanted. I wanted to play at the highest level. I wanted to go to a four-year university. I wanted to stay closer to home, closer to family. So that was the best option for me. But I think all levels, like you bring the competition to all levels. But I don't know what it was like for you.
So for me, I was kind of different. So I wasn't really able to play a lot of travel ball. So I didn't get a lot of exposure because we play, our school ball in the summer. So that's what I was doing all summer. But there were a couple community colleges around me that had reached out. And then the fall of my junior or senior year, I played, one fall on Ira Premier Gold for Greg Dickle. And that is kind of where I got my exposure to a couple college coaches. And I had a couple D1 coaches reach out to me. And I finally just made my decision where I felt most comfortable and felt at home going 4 hours away. Because I am definitely a family person. But once you take that step and get that kind of distance between your family, I think it honestly just brings you closer.
So good, you guys. Mallory, that was an awesome question. Okay, it is 7:30. Taryn, you are the last question of the night. If you guys have questions before we have Taryn open it up, Lindsay and Cameron, how and where is the best way for our Warriors to follow your journey, whether it's Twitter or Instagram? I know, Lindsay, I tagged your Instagram. Where can they follow you? Where would you like them to, if they have questions, are you okay with them DMing you?
Yeah, that's totally fine. Did you tagged my personal Instagram?
It's on the Facebook group, but that's mostly for parents. So if you want to tell them now, you can tell them.
Yeah.
So I'll just put both of them in the chat.
Yeah, I'll put both of our Instagrams on the chat. And then also Omaha Softball has a Twitter and a Instagram that's very active. So
very active.
Our assistant coach, I think, runs it. So
Twitter's on there too.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta look mine up.
I'll put it
in. Cool, guys. Awesome. Okay, Taryn, hit them with it while they're typing their Instagram names.
How do you cheer up a teammate or your team?
Ooh, good question.
Like, are you saying like after they have a bad at bat or after they maybe don't make a play in the field, or both?
Either.
You got it.
I think just having each other's back is a really important thing, because if we don't have each other's back, then we're not gonna get better as a team as a whole, because we are one. We're not playing for ourselves. We're playing for the name on our chests. So we all have to play as a family. But I also think holding each other accountable, because maybe that player did have a mistake that they made and they're hanging their head about it, but you have to remind them, keep your head up next play. We have to flush that, because that keeps the team chemistry best. You want to build up that?
Yeah, I think just part of being a good softball player and a good teammate is just having like that confidence in them for them. Sometimes, you know, if they're down and they're struggling, you got to have that confidence for them, and then vice versa, they have to have that confidence for you too. So just always being loud, just being chirpy on the field, even when you're not comfortable, Coach AB knows I'm not the loudest person on the field. I lead by example. I'm not very vocal, but this year I've stepped up a lot because I know Cam needs me on the mound. So that's kind of an adjustment I've been making.
Ba-boom. I love it. You guys, this was such an authentic conversation. Thank you guys for your time. I know you guys are busy. We really didn't get into it much, but I know a question that you guys always have is, you know, what's the day in the life of a college athlete? So let's wrap up with that. What does tomorrow look like for you guys? Hit us with it. And then we'll let you guys go.
Tomorrow we don't have weights. We have weights on Tuesdays and Thursdays since we travel from Thursday to Sunday. But tomorrow I have an 8 a.m. class and then a 9 a.m. class right after that. Come home for a bit, eat lunch at around 11, kind of weird hours for food, but eat lunch around 11:30, head to practice at 12, and it's an indoor complex, like kind of like 15 minutes away, I think. Warm up for practice 12:45 to 3:30. And then come home, email professors, eat dinner, do homework, and then wake up and do it again the next day.
Oh, let's see. What's my day like tomorrow? I have a 9 to 11:45 class, and then I have to leave straight from school because we start pitching right at 12:45. So getting my band work done and stuff before that. So I pack my lunch, eat it on the way to the facility. And then after, sometimes gotta go to the grocery store, grab some groceries, come home, work on homework, take a shower, go to bed.
Do treatment too. You gotta get your treatment in if you're hurting. So you gotta find time for that.
All the things. Thank you guys so much for your awesome questions. Thanks for hanging out. Oh my gosh, so awesome, you guys. Go crush it. Have a great night, you guys.
Will do. Thanks so much. Good to see you.
You too. Bye.